the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The story is found late in John's Gospel there in the New Testament. Jesus has appeared several times after his resurrection, and here he appears once more. This time, I believe, it's in Galilee. He's there greeting his disciples as they go about their business, and their business is catching fish. They catch a lot, and then Jesus maybe is there for a more serious reason than simply to make them breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, because he takes Peter and he has a conversation with him. Now, Jesus has forgiven Peter all of his sins, including the sin that Peter probably was most worried about, and that was of denying him three times, just as Jesus had predicted. But then Jesus kind of grills him a little bit. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Why does he ask those questions? And maybe more importantly, why does Jesus forgive Peter in the first place? Joining us to talk about that very event in John chapter 21 and teach a Sunday school lesson on Peter's reinstatement, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So let's start with the big question first. Why does Jesus forgive Peter, who had said, I mean, with all conviction, with vehemence, just several weeks before, that he didn't even know who Jesus was while Jesus was being tried and sent off to execution?
The answer has to be found with Scripture interpreting Scripture. Jesus is actually, in forgiving Peter, fulfilling what he also said in the same gospel. On the night of the resurrection, John chapter 20, he appears to the disciples, "Peace be with you." And listen to what he says. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now, what is that? Is he sending them to get enough bread and fish to feed 5,000 more people? Is he sending them to build houses for the homeless or to heal everyone? No. The very next words indicate the reason the Father sent him, and now the reason he is sending them. "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." In light of the fact that Peter was truly repentant over his denial, Jesus was simply fulfilling what he had told the disciples to do in forgiving others.
So Jesus has forgiven Peter of his sin of denying him. Why does he then continue the conversation, take him aside, asking these questions about whether or not Peter loves him?
Yes, there's quite a bit of ink spilt on this by many scholars, simply because taking a look at the Greek, it's kind of interesting that the first two times when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" he uses the Greek word agape, and Peter responds with the word phileo. Agape is that unconditional love we find it in John 3:16. Phileo is more like a love between friends. Now, I've done a lot of reading on that, in light of people like James Veltz, who's written quite a bit on this. He somewhat convinced me that the distinction between agape and phileo may be true in classical Greek, but it's not always true in biblical Greek. In fact, These two terms sometimes are used interchangeably to translate the same Hebrew word about love. So we got to be a little careful there that we don't say, oh, look at this. Jesus saying, do you have unconditional love? Peter says, no, I only have a love because of a deep fellowship with you. But it's not unconditional, or I never would have denied you. And I think that's really critical then, because Jesus asks the question the third time. And when he asks the question the third time, even Peter says that he's kind of upset over this. In fact, it says Peter was grieved, not because he asked him the question, but listen carefully, verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. Now, where does the term third come in? What does that remind you of? It reminds us that Peter denied Jesus three times when he had been crucified. And therefore, it was kind of a reminder from Jesus about those three times, and particularly Jesus' forgiveness to him. Remember, there's another passage. Peter asked Jesus, do we forgive seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And he wasn't talking about 490. He was just using the ultimate number and said, we continue to forgive if we're dealing with a person who is truly repentant, which is what Peter was in contrast to Judas. It's really a shame that the King James talks about Judas repented himself, but it's a different Greek word than the word used for proper repentance. It actually means he changed his mind. And the word is used in like Hebrews 7:21, where it says God never changes his mind and uses that word. So Peter had true repentance, sorrow over sin, and trust in Jesus as his Savior, in contrast to Judas, who had neither.
The other part of that conversation has to do when Peter is responding, Jesus says to him, in one order or another, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. What is that all about?
This is going, I believe, back to John chapter 20, where Jesus is about to leave. The ascension is going to take place soon, and he's going to leave his disciples to continue his work. Now, the ascension is really important because it reminds us that Jesus is ascended prophet, priest, and king. What does that mean? Well, priest, he continues to pray for us. King, he's in control of the world. But prophet means every time either a pastor in the pulpit or a Bible study or a lay person like a father or mother teaching the children, they are really using, if they are proper, the words of Jesus. And Jesus, therefore, is coming to us again through his word. Just like Jesus said in Genesis 1, verse 3, let there be light, and instantly there was light. Just as he said at the wedding at Cana, that water changed into wine, instantly water changed into wine. And by the way, both at the wedding and Cana, and also here in this text, where it says Jesus revealed himself, it's the same word in the Greek, both at the wedding of Cana, where he revealed himself to be Lord of Lords by changing water into wine, and also in this particular situation, where, of course, he continued to feed the disciples some fish.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what Jesus does when he reinstates Peter. To what position does he reinstate him? There's another passage there that Peter might be thinking of when Jesus had said to him earlier, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, and when you have been restored, strengthen your brothers. Is that going on here as well in Peter's reinstatement in John chapter 21? We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Peter's reinstatement in John chapter 21. We talk about it being a reinstatement, and I think there's something to that because Peter's position among the disciples, Tom, probably needs a little explanation. While he's not what some Christians make of him, kind of a little proto-pope, there is some position of leadership. We'll see it in the book of Acts. Both he and Paul emerge as the head of the apostolic band. To what is he being restored here?
He's being restored to that which Jesus originally had called him, but at a much higher level. I would really encourage the Sunday school teachers to take a look at Luke 5, verses 7 and 8, and compare that to John 21, verse 7. Luke 5 is when Jesus had called the disciples, and sure enough, they also couldn't get any fish. He told them to let down their nets, and it filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now listen to verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, obviously, he had an understanding of the importance of Jesus, but he also understood that as a sinner, he really didn't have the right to approach Jesus, come into his presence, or even be near him. Depart from me. But in John 21, after the resurrection, when a similar situation occurred and the boat filled with fish, we're told 153 fish, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which would be John, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea in order to get to Jesus. What a difference. It's the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, you had the temple and the Holy of Holies. No one was allowed to enter it except the high priest on the Day of Atonement after much sacrifice. Today, we have the holy altar with the Lord's body and blood, and all who are confirmed members may approach that without fear. Because, see, Jesus has come to us in such a way that we are now given permission to come to him. He became a human being. He died on the cross for our sins, paying the punishment. What more does he have to do that we will be friends with him? And so that's why it's very important that the very same thing that Jesus does to Peter in forgiving him his sins, he does to every one of us. And we have the privilege that no high priest in the Old Testament ever could have in walking right up to the Holy of Holies of the altar and receiving the Holy of Holies, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, into our mouth as the Lord's sacrament.
So let's kind of see how this makes its application in the lives of the Sunday school children, because I imagine some of them might be thinking, well, you know, I wonder if I need to be restored even as Peter was restored. Have we, in fact, if not in so many words as Peter did, denied Jesus three times?
Well said. It's an excellent law and gospel distinction. The law teaches us we deny Jesus every time we sin. That is, we put ourselves as number one. Sin is not just disobedience. It's not even just unbelief in the promises of God. It is also an act of idolatry. But what this lesson teaches, that he never denies us. So the point I would try and get across to the children, nobody ever has a sure footing that he cannot fall. But like Peter, through Jesus, we can stand. And then you could use this theme. Even when we are faithless, Jesus remains faithful. And the closest example that I would give to the children are their own parents. How many times have they disobeyed their parents? The parents don't kick them out of the family. They don't kick them out of the house. They may give them some discipline to keep down the old Adam, but hopefully that love is still there. And it is that love between a parent and a child why we begin the Lord's Prayer with, "Our Father, who art in heaven."
So need the children ever worry that they have done something so contrary to God's will that Jesus would not forgive them and restore them?
Excellent question. It all depends what their worldview and how God thinks. If they look at God like every other religion in the world looks at him, as an employer, and they're the employee, then there can be a possibility they will be fired. But that is not the analogy that God tells us about. The analogy he speaks about more than once is that he adopted us into his family. We are his children. There is nothing we can do to get him to love us more. There's nothing we will do that will make him love us less, because he's God. He's almighty. And therefore, the children need to recognize that regardless of their sins, regardless of their faults, regardless of their actions, they have what is called a merciful God, which means he will not hold you accountable for your sin eternally. And we also have a gracious God, which means he's going to give you gifts you don't deserve, like the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and fellowship with him. So they need never be afraid, because God promises not only that all things will work together for their good, but call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. The Sunday school teacher needs to pile on the promises from God and then show how those promises, unlike sometimes our own parents may be broken, are never broken by the true God, the God of mercy and grace.
In the end then, Tom, why did Jesus knew that this was going to happen? He knew the story from beginning to end. He even predicted it to Peter when Peter was saying, I would never deny you, I would never fall away or abandon you. Why did Jesus allow Peter to fall that way?
He allowed him to fall that way so that, as the Apostle Paul, remember he had that thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked God, remove it, but God wouldn't. And the reason was to keep him humble. Why would he need to keep Paul and Peter humble? Because Paul was going to raise somebody from the dead who fell out of a second-story window when he was preaching, and Peter was going to be martyred for him. And therefore, verse 19 is most important. When he showed what kind of death that was going to happen to glorify God, he said, follow me. And the reason he said that is found in verse 17. Feed my sheep. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Christian Church. And that's the reason the disciples, the apostles, and many others since then have had in reaching out to the lost so that they too may be saved.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a third in a series of novels called the Anthems of Zion series by regular guest Katie Schuerman. Following the life and the times of a little Lutheran congregation in an idyllic little town, the latest is called The Harvest Raised. You can find out more about this book right there at our website on any page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. And if you haven't started the series, start with the first one and move on to the second and then this third and final in the Anthems of Zion series. And if you've already read the other two, the third is ready for you, The Harvest Raised. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Corey Moss answer the question, is the Reformation to blame for today's secularism? We'll get a review of the movie Annabelle Creation from Pastor Ted Giese. And we'll continue our series, Answering Teenagers' Questions About Christianity. Dr. Jan Lohmeyer will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.